trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anybody trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would help us to understand your grace, to live in it, to treat others with it, to grow, and follow you wholeheartedly and trust in you. In Jesus' name. Well, I say we start with a small group question. You okay with that? Let's get rid of the. Go off to there. Thank you for that. Maybe I shouldn't have asked that question.
It's too big. It's too broad.
I know. Intentionally.
Yeah.
I was over talking to Aaron and Michaela over there, and they go, well, what do you mean by the world? I said, you tell me. You mean people? What did we talk, what did you guys say? You said something about trust, right, Aaron? You don't want to speak out loud in the group, do you? You do not like being called out.
No.
Clearly, I have let him down. Michaela, can you explain what he said? You know, sometimes we feel judged by the world and we just don't come up winning. You know, you ever have those days? You feel like, I just failed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to measure up. It's not going to happen. So why did Jesus start the Sermon on the Mount with these words? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why did Jesus start the Sermon on the Mount? Why is spiritual poverty such a big deal to the kingdom of heaven? We have an answer. Thank you, Steve.
I guess from that standpoint of, because if you're, you know, when you're pushed down to that spot, you have to rely on God. There's nothing, nothing else that you can rely on. And so being beaten down to that point where, you know, there's nothing left.
Yeah, good. You guys hear that? He said, you have to really need it. You have to be at that point where there's nothing left. You got to want it to pursue it. And if you have something, you know, another idol in front of you, often you'll cling to that. I'm kind of extrapolating here, but I...
Perfect.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thanks for the permission to do that. This is the foundational value of the kingdom of heaven. The whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' public teaching, starts with this statement. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This has got to turn some heads. Because people are used to, blessed are those who are really obedient. Blessed are those who keep all the right rules. Blessed are those who have memorized the Torah. Blessed are those who wear the right clothing. Blessed are those who attend the synagogue and get the opportunity to speak out all the time. No, blessed are the spiritually impoverished. Because that's the people who know they need grace and are no longer relying on legalism because the world has failed them in that. Paul says, I've been crucified to the world. Because of that cross, my interest in the world has been crucified. The world's interest in me has died. Wow. He's not talking about people. He doesn't mean he doesn't care about people anymore. He's not talking about the planet, and he doesn't care what you do to the planet. He's talking about the systems, the government of the world. Jesus said the same kind of thing when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Use the same word, cosmos. Cosmos is a Greek word which means to make order out of chaos. Interestingly, it's the same base word for cosmetics. So,
keep looking down.
Bright.
Yeah. Use a little powder here.
I was challenging
it
here.
It means I'm gonna move right on. It means the value system, structures, and governments as opposed to the kingdom of heaven. And Paul says he's been crucified. Jesus said that before Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. And Paul's saying, I don't follow or care about the views or values of this world. I don't look for success by the measurement of this world. I don't look for validation from this world. That's what it means to be crucified to this world. And he says, you know, pick your law, do it or don't do it, it doesn't matter. Circumcision, uncircumcision, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not about what we do or we don't do. Salvation, God's salvation, doesn't come from making improvements. It comes from being a new person. So that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not we've been transformed into a new creation. And this is the heart of the gospel. It's that you need God. It's not like you need to try harder. It's not like you need to be better. It's not like you got to keep the right rules. It's that you need God. You need God's spirit in you. You need to be a new creation. The rest of it's empty and meaningless. And trying to be a better person and impress people, it can be destructive. And it doesn't matter to God. The Exodus story, the Bible's there for a reason, and the story's of the Old Testament, and I'm reading this again, the Old Testament, the Exodus story is formative for us. That idea that Moses led the people of Israel through the Red Sea, it really was an illustration of them dying to the world, escaping from Egypt, which is an illustration of this world's kingdoms and structures and systems. And they were led through the Red Sea. It was like dying and being born again on the other side. We do the same thing when we baptize people. The whole idea is that you've died to that old life, you have a new life, you're a new creation. It's an illustration. I believe that stuff really happened, that God really did lead his people through the Red Sea by the hand of Moses, but it's also an illustration. It's pretty impressive stuff. The reality is that God has made you new, a new creation. And you don't yet completely see or feel or understand all of the truth of that. I know I don't. We just get glimpses. Sometimes we see and we feel and we understand things differently. We recognize that something has really changed in our lives. I was going to call you out on this, Rob. Sorry, brother. I was leaving your house after dropping off Russ, and I looked at the sticker on the back of your pickup, and I go, wow, that's not Rob. That was not Rob from 4 years ago. It says, what does it say? It says, Jesus is my final answer. Is that what it says?
This is my final answer,
Jesus. It's like, something changed in Rob. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you do. And Paul says that that's the new rule. That's the law of Christ. Living as a new creation. Living as a new creation. We're not concerned with impressing, conforming. We're not impressed with hiding or trying to appear good. We're trying to grasp, know, and live in the love of Christ. It's about sharing the burdens of others, as Sarah told us last week. It's about learning to love others because we're loved. It's about not condemning or elevating ourselves above those sinners out there. It's about listening and helping. Those who depend on God this way are His people. And then Paul talks about the scars of his persecution. Just don't bother me with this anymore. Look, I've been through a lot. And you can see the evidence that I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot because the way this world works, it doesn't work with this notion of grace. And I bear scars on my back to prove that that's true. So leave it behind. They don't go together. Don't keep messing around with this kingdom of the world religion stuff. It's violently opposed to the kingdom of heaven. So, summarizing, the theme of Galatians is this. Paul's saying, watch out for this legalism stuff. It's subtle. It's pervasive. It's violently opposed to the good news of Christ. It seeps into our lives. It seeps into our homes. It seeps into our worship. We put on a facade. We try to hide our faults. We try to impress. And then we become hypocrites. And we even begin thinking we're better than the people around us. Not good. Avoid it. Stay away from it. It's the religion of this world. It's not the good news. The cross of Christ is the good news. Paul said that. He said that God loves me not because of what I've done or can do, not because of what people think of me, not because of how impressive I can try to be. It's just because He loves us. And He showed it on the cross. 1 John 4:10, closing. Next verse. This is real love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to live as new creatures. Thank You that You love us. We don't have to impress people. It's not working for us. In Jesus' name.